Live from State Street in the heart of Chicago, you are listening to the new home of the Chicago Bears, ESPN Chicago. And this is Waddle and Sylvie, WMVP, WSHE, HD2, Chicago, a Good Karma Brands radio station.
All right, Lovine's going to join us in a second. Yurko is in for Waddle. It's spring trading. We shuffle our hosts yesterday. Last week, Cap had the pleasure of talking to
me,
Wilbon. Cap was on with me.
Yeah, he was.
We'll talk to Cap later. Cap will be on with Black.
Can't wait.
So we got to play something too that he had, him and Hoodie had for me. But we'll do that at 5:30, maybe.
We'll do it whenever you're ready.
And then I've got something for him later at 6:15.
Oh,
yeah, they were celebrating something. Cross the pond for people like him.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me give you everything that the Bears have done thus far, and then we'll bring in Wilbon here. So Jonathan Owens, the defensive back from the Green Bay Packers, was the latest agreement that the Bears came up with, a two-year deal, lot of money.
Yeah.
What was it? $4.5 million? Is that what you said?
Yeah, $4.5 million.
So not a lot of money right there. Jonathan Owens agrees to a deal with the Bears. The one earlier today was the tight end from the Chargers.
Yeah, Gerald Everett.
Yes.
I've got the name for you.
That's right.
I thought I had it written down, and it wasn't on my list. I've got it. Gerald Everett.
Here it is right here. Gerald Everett. And he's a guy who has been with the Bears' new offensive coordinator, Shane Waldron.
In the past.
With the Rams and with Seattle. DeAndre Swift was agreed to with the deal yesterday. Kevin Byard over the weekend, Tennessee. And then he played last year, the second half of the season with Philly. The Bears, of course, re-upped Jalen Johnson to a long-term four-year deal. And they traded for Ryan Bates before free agency began. So those are the acquisitions here in the offseason that they have now acquired. No Danielle Hunter yet. I don't know if they're willing to spend that kind of money. He has not agreed to any sort of a deal with any team yet. So if they do want that big fish, he is out there.
There might be some dominoes to fall or some things that become available that I believe teams are maybe being patient on.
Okay. Michael Wilbon joins us every Tuesday at 5 o'clock. He's brought to you by Waddle's guys over at Hawk. Tyler, what do you got?
HawkAuto.com, Ford, Chevy, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Subaru, Cadillac, Mazda, and VW, all in one place. HawkAuto.com, where Chicagoland saves big.
All right, are you going to do some sort of a victory lap here with us today, Wilbon?
Victory lap for what?
Well, you sent us a text about us begging for forgiveness.
From acquisitions to stadium. I mean, you know, I don't even need to take a victory lap. This wasn't hard. This wasn't hard for me, despite all the nonsensical talk about Arlington Heights or whatever the hell it is. This was not hard. You know it wasn't hard. You know I never wavered. You know I didn't go, well, maybe you guys are right. I told you were wrong every day that you were talking about this, and it was never going to happen. Never. I told you they were never playing a down in Arlington Heights. I told you that. So this wasn't difficult. And so I thought we were talking about personnel. They're going to get this done. It's going to have obstacles. People, you know, friends of the lakefront and all that. There's always somebody to oppose something. I just went through this in Evanston with Northwestern with, you know, a person who's willing to write a check for nearly $1 billion. And a city wants to get in the way of that because they'd rather keep an eyesore because people would rather object. And people just want to get in the way and object so they can have something to do and have their moment. So there are going to be objections to this too, but this is where the Bears have been, should be. It's a no-brainer. I don't want a dome because I don't want indoor football. I can only come up with one team, cold weather team, that's a dome team that's won a Super Bowl, and that's Indianapolis. Maybe somebody else has. But the Vikings have it. The Lions have it. You know, I guess you have to count St. Louis as one. They did.
They did,
when they were there. Minnesota have not. Minnesota and Detroit have not. And so I don't want a dome. I don't want a Super Bowl. Hell, I have an apartment in Chicago. I don't come there in February. So why should tourists want to come there in February? They don't. And look, people who, my dear brethren who live in Chicago, who never live anywhere else, they have perception of Chicago. And those of us who live there and still come voluntarily, but live somewhere else, have another perception. I don't want to be anywhere near my hometown, which I love to death, between, you know, the day after Thanksgiving.
And Easter.
Right. And no, way past Easter. Oh. I mean, May in Chicago.
Mother's Day.
May in Chicago is the worst month because you're actually, it's a tease, you're actually expecting to get warm weather and you get 542 with wind. No. The point is, no, don't.
It's but you're getting
certain
it.
Softness that I hate.
But you but know you're getting it.
I don't want it. I want an open air stadium.
It's the only way the Bears will ever be in a, or have a Super Bowl in Chicago.
He doesn't want that, though.
I don't want a Super Bowl. We don't need a Super Bowl.
Yes, we do.
No one wants to come to Chicago in February. No one.
What about the Final Four?
Okay, that's different. Now you pin me. Yeah. Now you're working me pretty good.
That's it. That's what I do.
You know, Final Four is something that I could get behind. You got to have at least 30,000 seats, and that's you know. So now I'm pressed. Final Four and other stuff, but man, I don't want to. If it's retractable, they're going to close it every time it gets under 60. I don't want that softness.
It's not going to be retractable. He said it's going to be the fixed roof is what they're calling it because they don't call it a dome anymore because it's going to be a flat. It's going to be flat, so they call it a fixed roof.
Yeah. Like Detroit, right?
And like Minnesota. He's going to build what's – and it's a beautiful –
Is Minnesota's flat?
Yes.
Is it straight flat? Okay, I haven't been
– It's glass.
I went there. I did. I went there for a Final Four. I was in Minnesota for a Final Four.
And it's beautiful. It's glass, and it makes it look like during the day like you're playing outside.
I'm not talking about what it looks like. Right. I'm talking about what it is. It fosters a certain softness that Chicago should never want to be associated with. Soft.
So what do you say, Michael? There are still people out there, and this is like the Justin and Caleb Williams – people who argue about it. We'll get to that in a minute. But there are still people out there who believe that still the Bears are using Chicago as leverage for Arlington Heights. You're not buying that.
I don't have to buy it. The Bears are going to do this in Chicago. I'm not wasting time arguing with idiots. I'm not. I don't do that. I got too many other things. I waste my time doing other stuff. Believe me, I got time wasters. You know, they're not building a stadium. I told you this then. Yes, I have ways of knowing about some of this, which I'm not going to be revealing. I've had off-the-record conversations all my life as a reporter and now as a private person, and that's not happening. It was never happening. So that's that.
So were the Chicago Bears then willing to invest $250 million in Arlington Heights to have leverage to make the ploy in Chicago and make the play?
I don't know. I can't speak to the Bears fan. I can't speak to the... You know, Halif McCaskey, I can't speak to that. I don't know that. I don't know anything about that. I'm not going to sit here and pose, and people can pose and act like they know that stuff. I don't know. And by the way, since when did land in a place that valuable ever become a bad investment?
Well, and it's not, but you got to get your money out of it, though.
So billionaires can't figure out how to get their money out of
it? They usually do, don't they?
They always do. Yeah. They always do. And they'll figure it out because that's what they do. And they have very smart people in the family and advising them. And that's what they'll do. That's not hard either. People can make this hard if they want. That's what we specialize in now, all of us in the talk industry. Let's make it hard so we can have many layers in several days. Okay.
That's not true.
You can do that, but that's not happening.
By the way, great stuff last week on Eisen, and thank you for the Waddle and Sylvie shout out.
Absolutely.
And it was interesting because it got repurposed and everything by other websites. You saying that this has been the most divisive topic in Chicago sports history. You're sticking to your guns. Because I agree with you on that. I believe
Sylvie, what's even close? Like, what's close?
I think
for those of us who are native, you know, what else is comes?
I think the two things that I think of that have polarized our audience the most has been anything Jay Cutler related or the Derrick Rose coming back from the knee injury topic. Those were
okay. I hear you. I forgot it. I hadn't thought about that. Jay Cutler, like, who was on the other side?
Well, and remember how divisive the injury was in the NFC Championship game about
in the championship game when he went to the
yeah,
bike and
right. Well, he wasn't yeah, was, tough was enough. And man, if I was in that game, and many former athletes said I would have had to be carried off
Maurice
on a stretcher.
Jones Drew specifically sure. MJD.
Right, and then Deion
said it. I've talked to athletes
Golek.
Privately. I've talked to look, Sylvia. You know, you and I have talked about this privately. And we can't give up the source of this, but. I talked to Bears on his team, on that team, who were a level of angry that you rarely see out of current teammates. So, but I didn't think it was by divisive. I mean something where there's another side, right? Like this is every. So, I'm in Arizona right now, and. There's so many, you know, Midwestern people here. The Valley is populated by people from, you know, Illinois, Wisconsin, Iowa, you know, Minnesota. And so you've got NFC Central people here and people who call Chicago a second home. I mean, people who, literally have rooted for the Bears, whether they're from wherever, Wisconsin, Iowa. And you cannot stop and get gas without somebody saying, hey, you still want Fields? I'm in Arizona. This is you can't avoid it just being a Midwestern person and being a Chicagoan because there's so many of us here. It's the like and there's always another side. It's split. Like I didn't know Jay Cutler was split. Forgive me for that.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it was. Yeah. And 50-50 all the way. Like he was a 500 quarterback. It was 50% of the people loved him. 50% of the people.
Wow, that many?
Oh yeah, 50% of the people hated him. Yeah, oh yeah.
Okay, well you got a good barometer there because you're taking that temperature every day. I didn't realize that it was that, but this is wow, man. I mean, in my own house.
Yeah.
You know, my own my brother. You know, we fight about this constantly going back to November. So, we're gonna wait. You know, we got to wait it out and see what's up, but. But the stadium thing is, you know, that was to me, again, I'm happy to spend my time dealing with the Bears quarterback situation. The stadium thing was never happening. So that was just, to me, that was like, what are people talking about?
With the trade market then diminished for Justin Fields, does he come back and does he go to camp with the Chicago Bears this year?
I would hope it doesn't get to that. And by the way, I mean, I hear all the experts declaring the trade market diminished. You only need one team. You don't need one. You don't need five. So might the Bears have misgauged? Sure. No, you don't need two people. I've been around that. And Washington had that with Kirk Cousins and RG3 most recently. I was around that every day. No, that's a disaster in the way. Especially, you know, when you got two people the same age or same age group. I realize it may be like 4 years age difference, but. You don't want that. I don't want to see that.
Because Yurko and I have been debating that all day.
It's been hot.
Yeah, yeah. Because Yurko's like, as long if it's not you say you're.
So as I basically said is, if you can't get the value that you need out of him, be it whatever a fourth round or a fifth round pick, if I can't get that value to me as a backup quarterback is more important. The same way I had Favre and I had Mark Brunell. The same way I had Favre, Mark Brunell,
but
and Ty Detmer.
They weren't equal. They weren't equal, and they're not equal because they're not equal. Ty Detmer is a footnote. I mean, Justin Fields, you traded up to get. I mean, no.
But at the time,
I've been around way too many locker rooms where that killed. I was covering the league. Joe Montana versus Steve Young. Yeah. Joe Montana treated Steve Young so badly. Now Joe was already a Hall of Famer, but they had to get rid of him. So don't tell me Fields and Caleb works out. No, it doesn't work. It doesn't work.
Kansas City is where Joe Montana ended up. And 94 Brett Favre was not 95, 96, 97 Brett Favre. 94 Brett Favre was a struggling player. And they almost replaced him when they put Brunell in against Minnesota. And they had
and
a come
they
to Jesus.
And aren't they glad they didn't?
No, they did. They had a come
they
to Jesus
meeting.
Aren't
they glad they didn't?
Yep, they didn't. And, and the rest is history.
Yes, and it's usually history when that you figure out you got to go with one guy. In the meantime, you're taking your locker room through hell. So, no, I don't want to see that. And that is not the Bears' history. The history of the franchise is not that. That's a Raider thing, a Cowboy thing. No, don't want to see it.
That's where I am. Yeah,
he's with you.
Yeah, I'm scared. Like I don't want.
Because there's no upside. There's no upside in that. You're not going to make Justin Fields the backup if Caleb. No, you're not. Or if Caleb wins the job, you're not going to do that. You're going to have just misery and controversy. We're not doing this for the purpose of talk shows. We're doing this for the purpose of team.
I'm trying to get more for a trade value if guys like Aaron Rodgers go down with an injury like that happened last year.
I agree with that.
I want to do it.
I agree with you there that, and again, today I just said on the show, on PTI, the segment is over now. I said, you can be patient. There's patience. And then there's, disaster. And what's the thin line? That's why they pay Poles the money and Kevin the money. That's why they're in those seats.
How do you feel about the Bears going out and getting a running back like they did with Swift?
Well, I thought the running back, look, part of that lead seems like an admission. Like, if you do that, and with Swift, you're saying, we know we got to replace about 800 yards here. What did Justin have last year? I know he had 1,000 the previous year. What did he have last year?
Yeah, somewhere around there. Yeah, it wasn't as much.
So you got to replace some of the 800 yards. And I know Caleb is more like, I shouldn't say this. Caleb's more like Mahomes in that he's not going to give you a great 40 time. He's not going to give you any 40 time. He's not going to do that. But he's not as big and strong and as fast as Fields, because like nobody in the league other than Lamar Jackson is. But it's like Mahomes, and he can escape. He escapes. He's been escaping guys who are going to play on Sunday for 3 years. He can do that. He'll give you some yards and some plays and third down plays, but he's not looking to do it. He's not looking to break plays and break contain and do what Justin can do. So he'll get you. I mean, he may have 300-400 yards rushing in that season. You don't have to replace all of it, but you got to look to replace some of it if you're going to make that move.
Yep. So how do you feel right now about your Bulls, our Bulls?
I felt pretty good until last night.
Yeah, right. I mean, they were playing.
Well, it was predictable. It was predictable. When teams come up, that game was at home, right?
Yes, yeah. They come back from the West Coast trip.
Teams come back from their West Coast trip. I don't care. The Jordan, Pippen, Jackson, Rodman, those teams had trouble when they did that.
Right. You get
so
home.
I was like looking at that and like, yeah.
Well, you get home, you get your conjugal visit, your legs go to heaven, and now you come back and you got to refocus again, and that's not the easiest thing in the world to do.
Yep, you nailed it right there. And so, they're still, can they play their way up to seventh? I don't think so. And even if you're in seventh, you got playing, but you can lose the second game. They're a playing team. That's what they are. What are there now, 18, 19 games left, something like that?
Yes, 18, I believe.
The question is this. So could they win the play-in? Could they get in the playoffs? Yes, they could. Could they get in as a 7 or 8? Yes, that's what they would be. Are they then a threat to the Celtics? No. Are they at that point going to be a threat to Milwaukee, which is going to have figured it out, I think, in the next 6 weeks, 4 weeks? I think no. I think Milwaukee will have figured themselves out. Milwaukee, though, I'll just say this. Milwaukee's a vulnerable team because Middleton's like absent because of injury. I mean, this guy, he was an all-star. He was a vital player to a championship team. He was a great defender. He had the ball in his hands in the fourth quarter a lot because, remember, they didn't have Dame Lillard then. They do now. But they're vulnerable because Dame is not a great defender. I love Dame Lillard, but he's not a great defender. Drew Holiday being elsewhere makes Milwaukee vote. We saw it last year. They were vulnerable last year. They lost. If Giannis, has something for a game or two. So who would I rather play? I'd rather play Milwaukee, which means finishing seventh. Can they beat Milwaukee? Almost certainly not, but they'd have a chance with familiarity and Milwaukee's own attempt to put together a team late. So I'd rather see that. That would be at least interesting to me for a couple of games while it settles in.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. It will be interesting here down the stretch. Wilbon, we always appreciate your time. Thanks so much.
All right, you guys, no fighting for the next few. How long we got? April 25th?
Yeah, we got about 6 weeks, seven weeks.
It's still a long time.
It is a long time to have to deal with this topic. And, like, I totally gave an amen to Justin Fields when he said he's turning this stuff off his social media, that he just wanted to live his life and not have to deal with this every moment of every day. Like, I'm tired of it. I can't even – God knows what he feels about it. And I don't blame him. Not only do I not blame him, amen for him for turning this stuff off, because you can't function normally or even anywhere close to it. So it's a long time to go with this. And, man, I don't know what – a lot of stuff can happen between now. Suppose the Washington Commanders decide they're going to do whatever it takes to go get a local guy and make him a local hometown hero. Suppose they make that decision. A bunch of strong-willed billionaires. I know those guys.
No, I know. I know you've said that.
Personally and personally. And I know that they're not looking to sit around for 4 or 5 years and figure out who the backup quarterback is. That's not how they function. So I just think there's a lot of stuff that could happen between now and 5 weeks.
It depends how much Poles loves Caleb Williams. If
yes,
he loves him,
yes, it does.
Then you don't trade him.
Right about that. How much have they made up their minds that he's their guy? And if you've done that, that changes the scenario completely. I agree with you.
Yep. All right, Michael, thank you.
All right, you guys, be good.
There you go. There's Michael Wilbon. I want to play this for you, too. You heard this before the show. Had this planned. Kyle Long, who you love, and he is lockstep with you on Justin Fields.
Well, it's obvious things are not what they seem. If you're a Chicago Bears fan, and a lot of you thought Justin Fields was worth X, and now we've seen that Justin Fields is obviously in the minds of the National Football League worth Y. So this is why I'm saying you retain Justin Fields. You keep him. You also draft Caleb Williams. You get two quarterbacks for cheap. At some point during the season, somebody's going to come knocking on Ryan Poles' door because they will have an injury in their own building. They will need a quarterback that's ready, an explosive, dynamic option, and that's Justin Fields. He's going to be healthy. He's going to be on the shelf. And that is the easiest way to get Y plus five. If Y is his value league-wide, you're going to get Y plus five in the middle of the season if you retain him on the roster. I still think you go Caleb Williams. I think this is your best bet with the limited options for destinations for Justin Fields.
There are four people who I love and respect who all think that way. You, Kyle Long, Jeff Joniak, and Jim Miller. Three of those guys played at a high level, you know? So, like, it's a growing part of people saying this. So, like, I guess I got to be open to it. I'm still not a fan of it.
You like it or not, I think you might have to be.
I'm not a fan of it, but there are a lot of people saying it.
If you've got a strong coaching staff, it's not an issue. If you've got a mealy-mouthed coaching staff, then you can bring competition into there. It's fine. It's not a problem. If you've got a feeling that Caleb Williams is going to be your guy and you see it right away, it's not even an issue. It's not going to be a problem for you. If you see what you want, or out of Jane Daniels, I like the way my guy was just talking. Mike Wilbon, saying
about
guys
trading
in Washington down. And if they love it, the game with the hometown. But I like, why? More draft equity.
Yep.
More draft capital. Sylvie, I love capital.
I do too. If you're not convinced that Caleb Williams is
I love Ovechkin. My favorite capital.
Very good.
Along with Constantinople.
Coming up next, Aki's A-List. And then I want to play you some stuff as we get ready for Cap and Black. Heard Abdallah say this is the main event of the night. I remember a day when these two guys used to go at it. So I'm anxious to hear what they've got for 90 minutes. And a Monday, Cap and Hoodie went after me. So later in the show, I want to play something. And I want to see how you side in this debate.
Okay.
But first, Aki's A-List, and that's coming up next.
This is breaking news on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
This is not good, Bears fans. We've been waiting for the news on Danielle Hunter.
Yep.
And we've gotten it. But it's not with the Bears. Danielle Hunter according to many, including Jordan Schultz, is signing with the Houston Texans.
They become the best team in the NFC South now. They made the playoffs last year, right? They are the best team in the NFC South.
Not only did they draft the quarterback, they drafted another guy who can rush the passer, and now they pair him with Danielle Hunter.
AFC South.
I'm sorry, AFC South. Yeah, I said NFC, Tampa, New Orleans. No, don't mean them. AFC South. It's sad news. The one thing you were hoping for as a Bears fan was the fact that Danielle Hunter was still out there. He had a chance to get him.
Yes.
Now you have to address it in the draft. Now you've got no choice but to address it in the draft.
Yeah, I know. They have not spent a high amount of money here in free agency.
Oh, boy.
DeAndre Swift is their biggest ticket item. I mean,
in a position that doesn't matter. They spent the most money at a position that doesn't matter.
Running back, they signed a safety for not a lot of money.
And that's fine. Depth position, signed him for decent money. But you had the one big signing you were going to have was to get somebody to solidify what you have. You look at what Houston has done. They drafted Will Anderson last year. They moved up. They gave up stuff. And now they signed Danielle Hunter. And they are poised. They're on the brink. They've got to compete in the AFC. And what's happening up in Hallis Hall? A lot of thumb twiddling going on.
Well, I've got the numbers, too. First
of all, breaking news brought to you by the Advantage Dealer Group, home of the 60-minute guarantee. Again, Danielle Hunter, Rapp is on this, Tom Pelissero. He's only 29 years old. He has nearly 90 sacks for his career. Waddle went through the year by year. We could go through this.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. In a minute. Year by year.
He has 87 and a half sacks. Year after year, double digit sacks. He just puts up big time numbers. And I thought putting him opposite in the way they rotate their edge rushers, if you would have put him opposite of Montez Sweat, you would have taken some pressure off of both.
It made your defensive backfield better.
Oh, my goodness.
And it made life easier on your young kids in the middle.
It would have made everybody better. It would have, like you said earlier, would have made them a top five defense.
What are those numbers again?
So give me as far as his sack numbers the money numbers.
I mean his money numbers.
The money is a two-year deal for $49 million and $48 million is guaranteed.
It's $24.5 million a year.
I don't know what the problem was there. It's not
What's
a long-term commitment. It's $25 million.
Are they too worried about where the hell they're going to put their stadium? They forgot that the product they put on the field is more important? The hell's going on there?
Short term, there's no huge risk for the team on that one.
I thought that would have been a win-win. He's 29 years old, right? This would have been his year 30. Doesn't he turn 30 during the season? Wouldn't this have been perfect? Because now you've got him for 30 and 31, and you don't have to worry about big-time money going forward?
So we signed nobody, 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 and nobody.
While theoretically, if you draft a quarterback number one, you don't have to worry so much about the salary cap right now. Yeah.
Is there somebody else they're thinking of?
I mean, he was the last real significant name. Now, we referenced earlier.
Now you're hoping for cuts.
Well, and Woonam,
Bosa, if Bosa's cut.
Or DJ Woonam, he had 8 sacks last year on the other side of Danielle Hunter. He's younger. He's entering his 5th season in the NFL.
Is this the guy that they're having visit on Thursday?
On Thursday. DJ Woonam.
He had 8 sacks this year?
He had 8 sacks this year on the other side of Danielle Hunter.
And then maybe they look at him as a guy that if you put him on the other side of Montez Sweat, and then he's younger. Is that what they're like?
But I think that's the only thing we can conclude at this point.
What is bad? What I thought I was going to be worried about is that Danielle Hunter was going to get paid $30 million per year over several years or 4 years. Let's put it at 4. The commitment here is short term. Okay, it's almost all guaranteed, but it's only 2 years. You're paying him for 2 years. The guy only produces. And what am I missing on the downside? What would have been the downside? What is signing Danielle Hunter prevent you from doing?
I mean, no, I'm with you. The only thing I could think is he was intrigued by the Texans more than the Bears, and so the Bears would have had to beat that number to really entice him to come to Chicago over Houston. Is that a possibility?
That is a possibility.
At what point, you know, how much do you want to blow the Texans out of the water?
Well, here's my problem with DJ Wonnum, and I don't want to complain about DJ Wonnum yet because I haven't seen enough, or he's not memorable enough for me to remember anything he did. And I don't watch a ton of Minnesota Viking football, I'll be honest with you. Adewale Ogunle was opposite of Jason Taylor when he was with the Miami Dolphins. So the rub was always, can he do it on his own? Can he be the alpha, the number one guy coming off the corner? Can he be the edge guy that's the focus of everybody? Now, he wasn't that in Minnesota, and he won't be that here in Chicago.
That's the good news.
So can he be a second fiddle is what you're asking of him. So can he be the second fiddle, and can he do it well?
Well, he showed you.
That's what you're hoping for.
But again, like, you could have had this 1-2 punch. Here, listen to these numbers, Yerk. In 2023, Danielle Hunter had 16.5 sacks. He played all 17 games. 2022, he played all 17 games. He had 10.5 sacks. 2021, he was injured. He only started 7 games. He had 6 sacks. But in 2019, he played all 16 games, 14.5 sacks. 2018, he played all 16 games, 14.5 sacks. So we're talking about, these are his last 5 years. 14.5, 14.5, 6, 10.5, 16.5.
And that 6 came in only 7 games
right.
So he's just under a sack a game kind of guy.
So it's not like that's a down year where he had only 6 sacks. He was injured, but other than that, 4 out of the 5 years he's played in the maximum amount of games. It's he's had production. You didn't have to sign him for a long-term deal. You didn't have to worry about him playing, guaranteeing money through his age 33 or 34 season. He was getting money for 30 and 31. It's 2 years. But again,
I'm just
maybe again, like with Saquon Barkley, and I know you didn't want Saquon Barkley. The Bears finished second to Saquon. The Bears finished second with Gabe Davis. And maybe again, they offered him something, and he chose Houston over the Bears.
They also last year finished second for Mike McGlinchey to the Denver Broncos,
which was a good thing.
Not a bad thing.
It was, but like maybe we're seeing, you know, now this is the with the third free agency
the pattern.
Ryan Poles has his number; he doesn't want to surpass that. And if the Bears aren't the high number most of the time, then you're going to get beat.
But running back, it doesn't matter. Safety doesn't matter. Backup, you could find backup linemen anywhere you want. The deal that you got for the safety, I think it's okay. You're replacing Eddie Jackson for half the money. It's a good deal. It's a smart deal. Nobody's going to argue with that deal that you made there. DeAndre Swift coming in at whatever money, you didn't need to sign a running back. It's stupid. It's dumb spent money on an area you didn't have to spend any money. The tight end, you wanted another tight end here? That's fine. I don't care about the tight end. You had a chance to make an impact for your football team. There's an impact move to be made at the opposite defensive end position, and you chose not to do it. You chose, no, I won't do that because I'm smarter than everybody else. Well, let's hope so. Let's hope he's smarter than everybody else.
A lot of people are referencing in the league that they are wild numbers, like someone at Over the Cap is saying, like Jason, who runs Over the Cap, NFL salary cap and contract expert, he says those are wild numbers for Hunter. Good for him to get that percentage of the contract guaranteed. So, like, again, 48 of a possible $51 million are guaranteed. But again, like, I don't think that $25 million for a top-of-the-market edge rusher
for
two years is out of whack. I think 2 years, $25 million per. Like, you're giving Montez Sweat $25 million a year. You're going to have a quarterback on his rookie deal. What again, is the downside there for a guy who's going to get you 13 sacks maybe this year, 12.5 sacks?
And you, Ryan Poles talked about Montez Sweat being a multiplier. you could talk yourself into having two, quote, multipliers on each.
Even more than that,
each edge.
Daniel Hunter becomes an exponentiator.
Yeah.
Now you're not multiplying, you're multiplying by itself to the third power. That's what he would have become, an exponentiator.
It's disappointing, too, because if you draft Caleb Williams and you actually get that right, I mean, you can talk yourself into the Bears being a playoff team next year.
If they paid Danielle Hunter $30 million, I'd say the Texans are crazy. That's what I would have said. But this amount of money being paid to Danielle Hunter is not out of whack. What'd you think you were going to have to pay him? You know, what'd you go into this thing thinking, hey, we're the Chicago Bears and we're going to get Caleb Williams and, hey, will you come play with us for $22 million?
I thought
you were going to be in it?
Well, I thought when Tyler was going to read the numbers that he was going to read me numbers that were it was going to be a $90 million contract and that like 60-some were guaranteed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I thought it was going to be more of a long-term deal. We're talking, again, about a two-year guarantee here. That's not a lot of money for a guy who's 30. Like, that was my biggest concern, was the age, and you're basically now taking the risk out of it.
Free agency opened up. If this was a home run hitting contest, okay, free agency opened up. All we've done is fly out to the warning track. It's all the Bears have done. They fly out to the warning track. That's it. Not one in the stands yet. Not one out of the park. Not one up on the concourse. Not one hitting a light stanchion. The Bears free agency has been just a total.
What's been the best move?
The safety is the best
move. I could argue the best move has been like re-upping Jalen Johnson.
Well, I'm talking about free agency.
Well, that's part.
A free agent, no.
But at least it was the money that they dipped into the cap with.
You franchised your guy. He'd never made it anywhere. You just re-upped one of your own guys. It's not free agency. Free agency is now. Free agency is happening in front of our eyes.
So buyers,
it's making acquisition.
That's your favorite move.
My safety is my favorite move, yeah.
312-332-3776. So that was the breaking news. We were supposed to do Aki's A-list, but that's pretty big news. What do you make of this, Bears fans? So you have all this cap room. You've heard about it all year. The Bears have the first and the ninth overall pick, and they have some of the biggest cap room in all of the league. And then you have signed DeAndre Swift.
Such a dud.
To a $16.5 million guarantee, two-year deal, basically. He could sign, could be here for three, but you're guaranteeing him 2 years. So you've signed a 25-year-old running back. You've got Kevin Byard, who's been a all-pro safety when he was with Tennessee. You got a second tight end, too, today. You got another defensive back in Owens from the Packers.
Oh, boy.
Did I hit everybody? They've not gotten in.
It's a miracle.
Owens, did you mention Owens?
Yeah, Owens. Yeah, I just mentioned Owens.
Simone Biles' husband.
Yes.
That's who we got. That's our Taylor Swift effect.
So it's Gerald Everett, DeAndre Swift, Kevin Byard, Ryan Bates, if you want to include him to it. That was a trade. And then Yurko doesn't want to include the money that you spent on Jalen Johnson. Those are the moves you've made this offseason.
Because it's not a free agent move. You just re-upped your own guy.
So 312-332-3776. What grade so far are you giving Poles?
F.
And not going after or not at least signing Danielle Hunter for $48 million guaranteed.
It can't be a worse grade. F minus.
Yurko's pissed off. 332-3776.
Chicago's home for sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000. This is Waddle and Sylvie on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
All right, 312-332-3776. Danielle Hunter is off the market and the Bears did not get him. So basically, the Houston Texans and Minnesota Vikings did a trade. Bernard goes from the Texans to the Vikings, and Danielle Hunter went from the Vikings to the Texans. Danielle Hunter only signs a two-year deal. It was almost fully guaranteed. What was it, $48 million guaranteed? And 51.
48 to 49.
Yeah, I think you can get up to 51 million, I think.
Bonuses?
Yeah, I think so.
Bonus structures?
Someone had an interesting point. I'll throw this at you. This is from Jay Stevens to us.
Jay Stevens sending something to us.
He says, Hunter and Sweat would have represented $50 million in cap. Has that much even been given to two defensive ends on the same team?
Yes.
It didn't work for the Chargers, Bosa, and Mack. Also, there's no state tax in Texas.
Not sure, though, the Chargers' problem was Mack and Bosa.
They had other issues.
Yeah, their coaching was horrendous, and a lot of the people around them were the problem. The Bears, flush with cash, didn't want to splash this offseason.
Right, and they were paying a ton of money to the quarterback and everything. You had the chance to do it now.
Herbert's the number six guy when it comes to cap hit on that team.
Right.
Your two defensive ends and your two wide receivers are the first four over there, just so you know.
Right. If not now, when, right? When you're going to be under the rookie contract.
The cap hit on Mack and Bosa, 38.5 and 36.6. So they've got $75 million dedicated to cap. They've got 28% of their salary cap, 28.5, dedicated to their guys. So that's a tremendous amount of money guaranteed to their two defensive ends. You'd be in at 66% of that at $50 million. Keenan Allen, 34. Mike Williams, 32. That's why the Chargers are in the mess they're in, and maybe that's why people are sitting there waiting around to see what they're going to do with Khalil Mack and Joey Bosa.
So DJ Wonnum, as you talked about, is heading to Chicago for a visit, I think, on Thursday. Is that the day?
Yes, he's visiting the Panthers tomorrow and then the Bears on Thursday.
So he's doing old school visits, and he is going to the Panthers. He has 2 years where he has eight sacks. He had eight sacks last year, and he had eight sacks in 2021.
2 years ago, yeah.
So he's got 23 sacks in his career.
Is he coming to all the cities for a little turn your head and cough?
I don't know.
Is that what he's coming for, a little physical?
Do you remember that when free agents always did the visits?
Oh, yeah.
And we always were like, hey, lock the door and don't let him leave. Like Brian Cox first came here, and we're like, oh, he's not leaving? They're signing him? This is amazing. What a coup for the Bears.
Was that 94, 95? What year was that?
That was 95 or 96, somewhere 96. In there. Yeah, it was one of the first years I was on the Bears beat, and it was the old Hallis Hall. And, oh, boy, that didn't turn out too well. But
no, but he was great in Miami.
He was fantastic. Great in Miami, yes.
He came here, then he went elsewhere and was great elsewhere. He just wasn't great in Chicago.
No, he was not. Prince on the South Side, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Prince?
Hey, what's going on, man? Hey, look, do we know that the Bears didn't make this guy an offer? Because it sounds like he just chose to go back to Texas where he was from.
No, we don't know. We don't know what they offered.
We don't have the specifics.
So why are we jumping off a bridge if we don't know?
Because we didn't get him. Whether you made him an offer or not, you didn't land the fish.
I didn't get this girl named Felicia back in the day.
Oh,
it didn't change my life.
Bye, Felicia. Bye, Felicia. No, that's like going fishing. Well, I had him on the hook, but I didn't bring him in. Can't have him on the hook.
But
we
it's a two-person process.
Prince,
so come on, man. It's a two-person process.
You and I aren't eating because the fish was on the hook, but we didn't land him. We can only eat if we land him. Now, there's going to be guys becoming available, I have a feeling, because San Diego's got too big of a cap hit. Bosa.
True.
Mack. This DJ Wanda might come to town. But, boy, I was dreaming of Hunter. And now he's gone.
Could have fished and hunt.
Yeah.
You know, even when I try to be mad at you, Yurko, I laugh at you.
That's what he does. He disarms you. He's got the Kavorka, Prince.
That's what my first girlfriend did. She laughed at me.
I've never heard that one.
It's the lure of the beast. It's the lure of the beast.
Prince, good stuff. Thank you.
All right, man.
Thanks, Prince.
You leave him laughing. That's what
you
do.
Well, that's what I do.
I know you do.
First girlfriend looked at me naked. She said, get me the hell out of here. So what's wrong? What's wrong? But burned her retinas.
Robert in Romeoville. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Rob?
Hey, guys. You know, I'm kind of with Yurko. Like, excuse me. I'm sorry. That's fine. I'm kind of on the side of Yurko with, like, what are they doing? I mean, they made a safety sign. They made a trade for a possible rotational guy. But where's the big money spending? What are they saving for? Hey, Yurko, I don't know if you remember, I called your show with Carmen, and it was about the Bulls, and I said, AK is George Costanza with the Penske file. Now it looks like Ryan Poles is George Costanza in the office, pretending he's got a job just to get paid, and just doing diddle-dally with his pen in the air. Like, what are they saving this money for? Yurko, are they saving the money like they're preparing to keep Justin and sign him again? Thanks, guys.
I don't know. I think they're using their money to pay the taxes up in in Arlington Heights.
You think so? They're going back to Arlington Heights?
Yeah, I think that's what they had to do. They had to make it are we going to get a world-class defensive end to get 17 and a half sacks, or are we going to pay the taxes in Arlington Heights? I realize the money comes from elsewhere and has nothing to do with the salary cap. I am being a smart aleck.
You're
here,
being a smart aleck.
I'm being a smart aleck.
All right, 312-332-3776. The breaking news. Daniil Hunter did not choose the Bears. We don't know how much they offered him. If they were interested, maybe they wanted someone who was going to cost less money than $25 million a year. He has chosen the Houston Texans. He signs a two-year deal, mostly guaranteed. Gets a $48 million guaranteed. But again, what's intriguing about it, it's only 2 years. And it's his age 30 and 31 season, and he's very, very productive. We were very interested, at least this show and Carmen and Yurko, in acquiring him. We'll continue to react with that, take your phone calls coming up, and then we'll crosstalk with Cap and Black coming up at 6:15.